your Bibles to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Make sure you continue to keep Brother Tom in your prayers, that he'll continue to get better, and his pain will not be so bad. Make sure you keep him in your prayers. And also Brother Kenny Lynn, keep him in your prayers as well. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, look if you would, beginning at verse 1. It says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Let's pray. Father, tonight, Lord, I just pray again, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. Lord, help us to have ears that will hear. And Father, I just pray that that you'll convict us, Lord, if we need convicting tonight. Lord, as always, we want to stay clean before you, Lord, and we know that's the only way to stay in fellowship. And so, Father, I pray tonight that we'll examine our lives as we look at some of the things that went on in Samson's life, Lord, and just look at from his example of how we are not to be. And so, Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll just bless the message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have been in the book of Judges, and we've been studying the book of Judges. And last week, we began looking at Samson. Now, or at least last week, we looked at Samson's parents more than we did Samson. But this week, we're going to look more at Samson. And what we see here in this passage of Scripture is we see warning signs that were in Samson's life. Warning signs that if he had taken heed to these warning signs of his attitude that he had and some of the ways that he was acting, he would have probably understood that he wasn't right with God if he had looked at these warning signs. You know, everywhere you go in life, there's always warning signs. There are signs along the roadway that points to danger that lies ahead, and it would be very reckless for us to look at those warning signs and just not heed them at all. That'd be a reckless thing to do. Even our bodies give us certain warning signs. You know, none of us like pain, but if you think about it, pain is a warning sign that something is wrong. Amen? I mean, how would you know that anything was wrong if you never had any pain? And so there are warning signs that we have. There are warning signs in society. There's warning signs when it comes to our body. But there are also spiritual warning signs that we need to pay attention to. There are times when we slack up in our commitment to the Lord. We don't attend church regularly. We don't pray as we should. Sometimes we start to flirt with sin or mess around in areas where we have no business messing around. And those are basically warning signs that something isn't right in our walk with the Lord if we start to do those things. If you examine yourself tonight and you say, you know, I'm not reading my Bible now like I used to read it, then that means you're probably not as close to the Lord right now as you have been in the past. There's something wrong there. If you can examine yourself tonight and say, I don't pray like I used to pray, or I only pray, you know, I think the last time I prayed was, you know, 2 weeks ago. There's probably something wrong. There's something in your heart that's not right with God. And so there are certain warning signs. And when we ignore these warning signs, and there are a lot of different warning signs, we are headed for spiritual shipwreck if we don't heed these warning signs. Now, in our text tonight, Samson manifests all the signs of a man who's headed for trouble in his life. I mean, you kind of see how his attitude is, and you see how he's how he's operating, the way he's thinking, and you see the way he is. But then later on, as we continue to read about Samson, you find out that he ends up going down the wrong road. He ends up getting in trouble. Before it's all over with, he has his eyes poked out, and he's being, his hair is cut off, and he's being made a slave to the Philistines. You see him that way. And you say, well, how did that happen? It was a process. It was a process that a man who God raised up to be a judge, that God was going to use mightily, all of a sudden finds himself to where he is being the servant of the very people that he was called up to get victory over. And the reason he did it, because there was the reason it happened that way, because there were certain warning signs in his attitude that he ignored, that he didn't think anything of. And so we can learn from Samson. When we see these warning signs that were in Samson's life, we can learn from these things too, because we don't want to go down the wrong road, and we don't want to go down the road of ruin either. We don't want to get to the point where we're so far away from the Lord that the Lord has to end up chastening us, or we get in trouble in life. And so tonight, I want to take a look at these steps to ruin, so to speak, or these warning signs in Samson's life that indicated that something was wrong in his relationship to the Lord. And the first warning sign that we see in Samson's life that indicated there was something wrong with his relationship with God was Samson's desires. Samson's desires. The desires that gripped Samson's heart and that motivated, really, these desires motivated his life, should have been warning flags to him that something wasn't right in his relationship to God. That there were problems just around the corner. What was it that Samson desired? I mean, what was the main thing that he desired? Well, it's pretty easy. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. One of Samson's great desires that troubled him most of his life was his desire for women. On his trip to Timnath, he saw this Philistine woman. She captured his eye. He tells his parents to go get her to be his wife. And his mind is made up, and he's not going to talk him out of marrying her. And it is worth noting here that Samson's life can be summed up in the events surrounding three women. Those women were the woman of Timnath here in verses 1 through 4, and there's also the harlot of Gath, that's in Judges 16, verses 1 through 3. And of course, there is also Delilah. Now, Delilah is the one that everybody remembers. Delilah is the one that ended up cutting off his hair and was responsible for him being made a slave to the Philistines. And if these women had not been a part of Samson's life, really, we wouldn't know anything about him except for that we know about the circumstances of his birth, and we know probably that he killed the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. But outside of that, the majority of the chapters that you read about Samson are his actions with these women. And if they weren't a part of his life, then we wouldn't have a lot of the chapters that we have in the book of Judges. And you say, well, is it the woman's fault? No, it's not the woman's fault. We kind of look at, I know when I was a little child, when I was in Sunday school class, and every time I was told the story of Samson and Delilah, I always got mad at Delilah. I always say, that Delilah, boy, if it hadn't been for her, Samson would still be doing what he's supposed to be doing. Well, that's not really the problem with Samson was not the women. Hey, listen, if it wasn't those three women, it would have been three others, okay? That's just the way it was, because his desires were desiring for things of the flesh. They weren't desiring the things of the spirit. And so we could get mad at Delilah, and we get mad at this woman or the harlot of Gath, and we get mad at those women. But the truth of the matter is the women wasn't the problem. The problem was Samson. That was the problem, okay? And so what happened to Samson was not Delilah's fault. It was Samson's fault. Samson ignored the warning signs that the desires that he had were not godly. And Samson may not have been strong. He may have been the strongest man in the Bible physically, but spiritually he was a very weak man. He had no self-control. And may I remind you tonight that true strength is not measured in how much you can lift. True strength is measured in how well you can control your actions and your attitudes and your appetites. It'd do us well to remember that our problems in the spiritual realm begin in the same place that Samson's problem began, and that is, begins in our heart. And as we seek to fulfill the sinful lust of our heart, that's where everything begins. James 1:14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The problem of sin is it's an internal problem. It doesn't begin with someone else. It doesn't even begin with the devil, if you think about it. Our sin problem begins with us, with our own twisted, depraved desires. And when we start to have those twisted desires, we need to recognize that that's a warning sign. We need to recognize that our hearts are not right with God. And eventually, if we don't turn around, when we have these desires, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. It's a warning sign. Samson should have stopped and said, "Wait a second, I'm having desires I shouldn't have here. I'm thinking about doing things that are fleshly desires, not spiritual desires." And when we begin to long for the things that God forbids, when we desire to gratify the lust of the flesh, we're headed down a dangerous road. And Samson's great desire, his great lust, was the desire of women. I'll tell you another desire that Samson had that got him in trouble. Not only was the desire of women, but also the desire to have his own way. His desire to have his own way. If you'll notice, there are two statements that Samson made that really stand out. And these two statements give a glimpse of the heart of Samson. Notice, if you would, at verse 3. It says, "And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Notice it says, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Personally, I tell you, every time I read that passage, I kind of get irritated, because I think about how anybody could ever talk to their parents that way. You know, he says, "Get her for me. She pleases me well." And then they try to talk him out of it, and he says again, "Well, just go get her for me." You know, there's a part of me that says, you know what, if I was Samson's dad, I'd be like, "Go get her yourself," you know. But talking to parents like that, it kind of irritates me, demanding them to get a woman for him. And if that were not bad enough, you had Samson demanding the parents to do something they knew that wasn't right to do, okay? They knew that Samson wasn't supposed to marry a Philistine. They knew that Jews were not supposed to intermarry. And so, but Samson wasn't concerned about what his parents wanted or what was important to them. Samson certainly wasn't concerned about what God wanted and what was important to God and what God thought about the woman. Samson saw her, he wanted her, and nothing would prevent him from having her. Not the objection of his parents, not what anybody else thought about the issue, not what was in the best interest of the nation of Israel, not even what God said in his word. None of that mattered to him. None of that would stop Samson from having his own way in the matter. According to Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was against God's will for an Israelite to marry a Philistine. But Samson only cared about what made himself happy, and he lived his life to please himself. The desires that Samson had that stood in opposition to the will of God should have been warning flags to him. He should have said, "Wait a second, I keep on finding myself wanting to fulfill fleshly desires. Wait a second, I keep on finding myself wanting to do something that's against what the Word of God says." That should have stopped him in his tracks, where he says, "Wait a second, I'm not right with God here, I need to get right with God." I'm just going to tell you something, folks. If you have that warning flag going up in your life tonight, to where if you just stop and think, the things that I desire, what are they? And if you wrote down everything that you desire in life, if you wrote, let's say, 10 or 20 things down, in fact, I'm just going to encourage you to do this tonight. Write 20 things down that you desire in life. And now listen, I probably should have asked you to do it before the message, because now you're going to do it with a message in mind, okay? But if I had asked you to write down 20 things that you desire in life, and after you looked at those 20 things, not one of them are spiritual things, you probably have a problem with fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Why? You should be desiring spiritual things. Now, I'm not saying that if you say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't mind having a new truck," that's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong to write that down, but what I'm saying is, if everything, a single thing that you desire in life is only material things and only fleshly desires, there's something wrong in your walk with the Lord. Well, you should desire spiritual things. Samson was not like that. He had a fleshly lust and he had fleshly desires. You say, "Well, how about, you know, what are we to do?" We're to examine ourselves and see the things that we have, the desires that we have. Now, the desires that Samson had, that stood at the will of God, again, should have been a warning sign to Samson. After all, he was a Nazarite. If you remember last week when we learned about his parents, he was a Nazarite. He was declared to be a Nazarite before he was ever born. And you say, what again is a Nazarite? A Nazarite, a lot of people get the two mixed up. A lot of people don't know the difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite. A Nazarene is somebody who was born in Nazareth. But a Nazarite, according to the book of Numbers, was a person who took a vow, and that vow included that he would that a Nazarite would never cut his hair, a Nazarite would never eat of the fruit of the vine or drink from the fruit of the vine. In other words, he could not eat grapes or raisins, he could not drink wine, whether it was new wine or old wine, fermented or non-fermented. He wasn't supposed to do any of that. He was supposed to have absolutely no grapes at all in any way of the vine. He was supposed not to do that. He was supposed to be totally separated unto the Lord. That's what a Nazarite vow included, amongst other things. And he was supposed to be committed to the Lord. That's part of the Nazarite vow, is being separated unto the Lord. His life was not his to do with what he pleased. He was to glorify God with his life. You say, well, how does this apply to us? Well, when the Lord saved us, he redeemed us unto himself. He purchased us. We are his possession that he redeemed. Therefore, he owns us by the right of redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to the Lord. Now, some people say, I don't want to belong to anybody. Oh, yeah, you want to belong to the Lord. You definitely want to belong to the Lord. Because if you don't belong to the Lord, then guess who you belong to? You know what Jesus looked at those Pharisees and knew what he said? He says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd much rather belong to the Lord than belong to the devil. Amen? I'd much rather. Because if you belong to the Lord, then you're his. Now, you say, what's so important about that? Well, part of the new covenant is that he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. Now, listen, if you don't belong to the Lord, then you're not his people. You want to belong to the Lord. And so if you're saved here today, tonight, you do belong to the Lord. And so that's what we need to understand. We belong to God, and therefore our desire should be his desire. Our desire should be to do his will. And when we don't do his will, it's a clear warning sign that things are just not right in our walk with the Lord. Samson's attitude was, I'll do as I please, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it or what anybody says about it. It's a me-first attitude. It was a mindset that says all that matters is me getting my way. So the first warning sign that we see in Samson's life that indicated something was wrong in his relationship with God was Samson's desires. He had a problem with the desire of women. He had a problem with the desire to have his own way. But there was a second warning sign in that we see in this chapter that at the very offset of the whole thing, before Samson ever even met Delilah, there was another warning sign that Samson's relationship with God just wasn't what it should have been. And that is the choices that Samson made, the choices that he made. Look, if you would, there in Judges chapter 14, look at verse 3. It says, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. When Samson's parents hear what he wants to do, they immediately warn him against his course of action. They try to encourage him to maybe look for a nice Jewish girl rather than going after this Philistine woman. And they try to change his mind by encouraging him to go for the right person. Now, what they did was what any loving, caring parent would do. When we see our children doing something that they shouldn't do or getting ready to do something they shouldn't do, we encourage them, say, you know, why are you doing it that way? Why don't we do it the right way? Sometimes we do it gently. Sometimes we do it a little more harsh. But they were trying to stop him from making a serious mistake. And as parents, I'm just going to tell you, we have the responsibility to warn our children and our grandchildren when they're about to do something that's against the will of God. We are obligated to do that. And that's what these parents were, the parents of Samson was trying to do. But despite the pleas of his parents, Samson had it settled in his heart exactly what he wanted to do. Samson didn't care whether it was right or wrong. He didn't care what the Word of God had to say about it. All he cared about was what he thought and what he wanted and what he felt. All he cared about was pleasing himself. So he made the decision that disrespected his parents' wishes, and he made a decision that disrespected God's will. And we should, and that again should have been a warning sign. And may I say tonight that when you get to the point where you care less about what the Word of God says, and when you could care less about how your actions could hurt others, and when you show no regard to people's feelings, it's a warning sign that something just isn't right. I tell you, I remember one time that I saw a lady, and she came in to a church, it wasn't this church, but she came into the church, and she was dressed very inappropriately. And I remember I walked up to that lady, and I just mentioned to her, I said, you know, I said, in a very gentle way, I let her know that she was not dressed appropriately to come to church. And her answer was this: it's their problem, not mine. It's their problem, not mine. You know, when you get to the point to where you can look at somebody and say that, to where you say, you know what, I don't care what other people think. I don't care what the Word of God says. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Now, folks, that should be a big warning sign that something isn't right in your spiritual walk. When you get to that point, when you say, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to do it anyway, and I don't care what that Bible says. I've had people say, I know what the Bible says, but... Now, wait a second. If the Bible says it, you need to heed what that Bible says. How many of you understand tonight that the Lord, when he wrote the Word of God to us, and when he tells us how to live and the things that we should do, he didn't do it just to be, just a mean person who just wants to stop us from doing what we want to do. No, everything written there that tells us how to live life as a Christian is there for our own good. The same way us as parents, generally when parents make the rules for their children, they do it with one thing in mind, and that is to protect their children and to raise them right. Amen? That's what we do as parents. We're not as parents, even though some of the kids in here, young people may disagree. But when we make rules, it isn't so we can just say, I'm going to make this rule just to make their life miserable. That's not the way it is. When we make the rules are there to protect our children. I know when I was growing up, I tell my kids this, and they think, man, your dad was strict. When I grew up, on weeknights, I had to be in bed by 9. And that's all the way up until I went in the military, okay? During school, I had to be in bed by 9. On weekends, I could stay up till 10. You know why? My dad didn't want me out at 1 o'clock in the morning. He wouldn't even let me out. In fact, he told me, if you leave this house after 10 o'clock, you may as well plan on staying the rest of the night out there. Because I'm locking the doors. And he meant it. And so I was not allowed to do these things. And at that time, I'm thinking, man, all my friends are out there. They can do all these things. And not me. I don't get to do it. Man, my parents are so strict. But I look back, and I'm sure I'm glad my dad did that. I can't imagine some of the things I would have done. Why? I know me. And I'll tell you what, I think my dad knew me pretty well, too. He made the rule for my own good. Don't you understand that your father makes the rules for your own good, too? Everything in that Bible is just for, those rules that are made for you, it's to protect you. It's to protect your testimony. It's to protect his glory. All of it. He's just not making rules out there just to make you mad. Everything is good. And I'm just going to tell you, if you do everything that God tells you to do, you're going to have an awful good Christian walk. If you just do what he tells you to do. But when we get to the point to where we think that what we want is more important than what the Lord wants, and where we say, I'm going to do it regardless of what that Bible says, that's a pretty good warning sign that you're not right with God. Pretty good warning sign that you're not right with God. So we see that the warning sign of Samson's desires, we see the warning sign of Samson's choices. We also see another warning sign, that's a warning sign of Samson's rebellion. Samson's parents finally gave in to Samson's demands, and they go to Timnath to see this woman. But while they all go to Timnath to see this woman, Samson apparently wanders off by himself, because the Bible says there in verse 5, it says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a lion roared against him. Now, when they go down to Timnath, when this lion roars against Samson here, the parents are not with him, okay? You'll see that here in the following verses. So they all go down to Timnath, but somehow or another they get separated, and as they go over to see this woman, Samson here, either he takes a different route or something, because he goes over here, and this lion roars against him. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but told not his father or his mother what he had done. Samson is passing through the vineyard. He's attacked by a lion. He kills the lion with his bare hands, power of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the great feats of strength that the Bible talks about when it comes to Samson. But this event is also a glimpse into the heart of Samson, the heart of rebellion. And this is another warning sign that Samson should have needed. Think about this. Samson, he's attacked in a vineyard. What in the world is a Nazirite doing in a vineyard? Listen, a Nazirite was not supposed to have grapes or any of that stuff, but yet he goes down and he's in the vineyard. Well, why would he do something like that? According to Numbers chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, a person who had taken a Nazirite vow could not have anything to do with the fruit of the vine. He couldn't drink wine, he couldn't eat grapes or raisins or anything from the vines. He had no business being in that vineyard at all. And this simply reveals the rebellious nature of Samson. Perhaps he thought he was immune to temptation. Perhaps he thought that the prohibition against the fruit of the vine was for everybody but him. Who knows what he thought? But his disobedience is revealed by him placing himself in a place where he could be tempted to break his vows to the Lord. And the same is true with Christians today. When we constantly place ourselves in situations that we know that we'll be tempted, we're revealing the fact that we have a rebellious spirit. It's almost like we're daring temptation to come. It's almost like we're courting sin, getting as close to it as we possibly can, but not crossing the line. But I remind you that God commands us to separate ourselves from sin, not to court it. Now look at verse 8 and 9. It says, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. A Nazirite was not supposed to come in contact with a dead body. Therefore, Samson placed his Nazirite vow in jeopardy by being even near that dead body. And you know, Samson is a perfect example of many Christians today who will get as close as they can to sin and think that that's okay, as long as they don't actually commit the sin. They will say things like, well, technically, that's not a sin. What I'm getting ready to do, technically, it's not a sin. May I suggest to you tonight that if you had to find technical loopholes to do something that God disapproves of, then your heart is probably not right. If you have to come up with, say, well, now that's technically not a sin, you might want to check yourself. You might want to check your relationship with the Lord. Because I'm just going to tell you right now, God does not operate where he says, well, that's technically not a sin, so you can go do it. No, wait a second. For starters, if you can't do it by faith, then you shouldn't be doing it at all, according to Romans chapter 16 or Romans chapter 14. If you can't do it by faith, you shouldn't be doing it at all, because only that is a faith. You can only please God with faith. And so for a person to say, well, now that's technically not a sin, well, that tells me that person is saying with his rebellious heart, that's technically not a sin according to the Bible, so therefore I'm going to do it. In other words, you're looking for a loophole to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing. And when we get to that point, we're not right with God. Now, how did Samson fare with this? Well, we're told that Samson touched the dead carcass of the lion to get the honey out of it, where the bees had made a hive. And when Samson touched that dead lion, he violated the vow to the Lord, according to Numbers chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. According to those verses, he was, as a Nazirite, he was not supposed to touch a dead carcass. And if he did what he was supposed to do, was he was supposed to go to the priest and offer a sacrifice. He was supposed to shave his head. He was supposed to begin again as a Nazirite because of his sin. But Samson didn't care enough to do any of that stuff. He didn't care enough to do that. Now, if you think about it, God could have chased him right there on the spot. But for his own purposes, God did not judge Samson at this point. Now, what you're going to see as we continue to look at Samson, you're going to see each time he breaks one vow after another one, after another one. And then eventually, you're going to see where he has no, the Holy Spirit of God leaves him totally. I hate to break the news to you, but if you're one of those people who believed like I did for years that Samson's power was in his hair, his power was never in his hair. The power he got, well, he got from the Holy Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit of God left him, that's when he had no power at all. Okay? And so God could have chastened him here, but he didn't. For his own purposes, he did not judge Samson. In fact, we're told in verse 4 here that these events were of the Lord. They're of the Lord. This does not mean that God planned the sin of Samson, but it does mean that God allowed that sin to happen. It also means that God intended to use Samson's sin to accomplish his will. And that's something you're going to see in the scripture. Listen, God does not condone your sin, and we all mess up. But you'll notice how God can even use that in order to get his will accomplished. I'll give you some examples. If you think about this, God used David's sin with Bathsheba to bring Solomon into the world. I mean, he did. He didn't condone what David did. David did. Do you realize that there are two sins in the Old Testament that there were no sacrifices for, and David committed both of them? That's adultery and murder. And God could have had David killed. He could have taken David out right then and there, but he didn't do it. But what he did do, he used that situation, even though he didn't condone the sin, he used that situation to bring Solomon into the world. Do you realize he used the betrayal of Judas to get Christ to Calvary? It was Judas that came up that showed him where Jesus was and which one was the Messiah. He used that. Now, when Samson broke his vow to God and nothing happened to him, he must have thought that he got away with it. But his misunderstanding of his sins caused him to travel even further down the road to ruin. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the son of men is fully set in them to do evil." And what I'm saying is this, just because God doesn't come right down and pass judgment right then and there, people today are thinking they're getting away with something. Let me tell you something, folks, nobody's getting away with anything. There's a day coming, the Lord's going to settle all accounts. There's a day coming. You know, when you read in the book of Psalms, you read over, more than one person makes the claim that the wicked get all the breaks, that the wicked get all the blessings, and the faithful don't get anything. Do you see that in the Psalms over and over? But may I tell you something? Nobody's getting away with anything. And today, if you think that the wicked has it better than us, you're dreaming. Why? Because your life here is just a vapor. You've got eternity to go to. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. A person that's not saved, a wicked person today, they're not getting away with anything. Just because they may have it better in this world, that means nothing. Why? Tomorrow they could die. And then where are they going to be? You see, nobody's going to get away with anything. We've seen Samson's desires, his choices, his rebellion, all of which should have been seen as warning signs that he was not right with God. And then finally, the last warning sign that showed that Samson was not right with God was his deception, Samson's deception. Look, if you would, starting at verse 8. It says, "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Samson was so filled with pride that he never considers the consequences of his actions. By eating the honey from the lion, he defiled himself. But he then deceived his parents to get them to eat the honey as well. It's almost like he was justifying himself by getting them to eat the honey. So that way, if they ever found out that Samson had eaten the honey from a dead lion, he could say, "Well, you ate it too. I gave it to you and you ate it." You know, Samson knew that what he did was wrong. But generally, sinful people do not like to sin alone. You'll find that. You know, we often hear that saying, misery loves company, so do sinners. People don't like to sin alone. If you'll notice, the world always tries to make sin and sinful products look glamorous and appealing. Have you ever noticed that? That they always try to make it look appealing. You ever notice why people are always trying to tempt you to do wrong? Because they're doing wrong themselves. Do you want me to tell you why? You know, the Bible says that light came in the world and the darkness rejected that light. They didn't want anything to do with that light. You know why? You know why people don't like to hear people talk about Jesus Christ? You know why the lost world don't want... Listen, you go out there today and you could talk about Allah, you could talk about Buddha, you could talk about all of them, and nobody cares. But you mention that name, Jesus Christ, and people immediately get offended. They don't want to talk about that. You know why? Because he's the light of the world. And he shines light upon darkness and wickedness. And people don't like that. People don't like for their darkness and wickedness to be exposed. They don't like for that at all. And what a lot of people do today, even some Christians today, what they'll do is they'll get away from the Lord and they start to feeling bad about it. And rather than getting right with God, what they'll do is they'll try to get other people to go with them and start doing wrong as well. It's almost as if they're justifying themselves, saying, if I can get that person to do what I'm doing, then I'll feel better about what I'm doing. Listen, you'll see it over and over and over. That's the reason the Lord says that when a person is not right, when a person's living in sin, we are to have no fellowship with them. Why? Because they're going to try to drag you and get you to do the same thing they're doing. It's almost like they're trying to justify themselves. I have read that scripture there about him giving that honey to his parents and not telling. Of course, I have to admit, I mean, I couldn't imagine if somebody told me that, hey, the honey you just ate, I just scraped out of a dead lion. I don't know how I'd handle that. I'd probably get sick to my stomach, okay? But I am going to say this. I read that scripture and I'm thinking to myself, why did he do that? For what purpose could he possibly have to give them the honey out of that dead lion? And then I started thinking to myself, well, what he did was wrong, and he wanted to drag somebody else into it too. That's what people do. That's what people do. Sometimes people, if they're living in sin, what they'll do is they'll try to drag other people to get them to sin too, just so they feel justified. It's dangerous to have a person, even a Christian today that's living in open sin, it's dangerous to have fellowship with them. And we're told not to, because they'll try to pull you into the worldly activities. That's why Paul says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which he received of us. He said, he says that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. That's a saved person. A saved person that's walking disorderly, not according to the word of God. He says, withdraw from that person. He goes, why is that? Because that person will drag you down with them. What you need to do is you need to tell them that they're doing wrong, show them that they're doing wrong, and pray for them. But you're to withdraw from them. Imagine for a moment tonight how Samson's life would have been different if he had just recognized and heeded these warning signs in his life and repented before God. Just think about how greatly God could have used a man like Samson, probably the strongest man who ever lived. I have not read of anybody in the Bible that was stronger than him, any human in the Bible that was stronger than him. Can you imagine what God could have done with him? If he had just recognized these warning signs and said, hey, wait a second, my desires are not what they should be. My decisions that I make, I'm not making my decisions based on what God wants and what according to the Word of God. I'm making my decisions based on my fleshly desires and what I want. It's all about me. I wonder, I mean, if he had said, wait a second, you know, my attitude just isn't right. I need to repent. I always wondered how God could have used him and the things that he could have done. But he didn't repent. He kept on the road that he was on, and it kept on getting worse and worse and worse. What if he had, right at the very outset, if he had just recognized those warning signs? Imagine just for a moment what God could do with us if we would recognize the warning signs in our lives, warning signs that are present in our lives. Maybe you find yourself giving in to fleshly desires more than you have in the past. Maybe you're constantly making decisions without caring about what the Bible says. Maybe you have a problem with rebellion or a rebellious heart. Or perhaps you have a problem with deception. You deceive people. These are all warning signs that something isn't right on the inside. If that's you tonight, why not just repent? Why not just to say, Lord, I recognize these warning signs and I don't want it to get worse. I don't want to go to where I end up in ruin. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, once you start down that path to where you're You don't care about what the Word of God says. You don't care about how God feels about it. And you start going down that path. That path is a path of destruction. You don't believe it? Take a look at the Christians today that you know of that's gotten away from the Lord and kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. Look where they're at right now. Look what they're doing right now. It's a path of destruction. It'll ruin you. The best thing you could do is what Samson should have done. Say, Lord, I recognize these warning signs, and there is just something not right in my heart with you. If you're here tonight and you recognize any of these warning signs, get right tonight. Don't keep on going down that road. Let's stand.